Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the things that my wife, Vicky, likes to talk about, probably more than about anything, are the changes, the upgrades that she'd like to make to our house. Now, our house is comfortable, it's well built, but it was built in 1965. And what people are looking for and expecting in a home in 1965 is different from what people are looking for now. The rooms are relatively small. There is no master bathroom. And it's about time for us to refresh the carpeting and do some painting. We'd like to move some walls around, like to put on a deck. And many of you know that I enjoy cooking. And it's hard to cook in a kitchen that's about this big. The thing is, we have ideas, we have visions for what our house could become if we make these changes. Our house, as I mentioned at the beginning of this service, about forming and reforming as we celebrate Reformation Sunday, our house was formed and has periodically gone through some reformations. But then there's some times that we want to do big reformations, big changes. But part of the question as a family makes changes to their homes, the question, what do we want the end result to be? What do we want the look, the feel? So essentially, what are the values in our reformation? What are the values in the reformation of our home? You see, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the church door in 1517, he was beginning or wanted to begin an intellectual debate, wanted to talk about indulgences and some of the other things that he was seeing in the church. And some people thought that he was crazy. Some thought that he was reckless. Some thought that he was perhaps even the Antichrist, because he was challenging what the church was doing. He was challenging the traditions. He was challenging the current teachings. But what had happened is that the church over time had wandered from the gospel in some areas of its practice. We hear Jesus today says, continue, as he says, continue in my word. Continue in my word. The thing is, there are many people throughout the history of the church that have tried to reform it, that have tried to redirect some of its teachings. But what are the central values of the church, the capital C, church, the universal church of Jesus Christ, the church that is the body of Christ? And this is not about denominations. It's about what Jesus has called us to do and to be as his church. So whenever people start to challenge what the church is doing, there are people who are afraid. What does this mean? Are we being truthful? Are we being faithful to the call of Jesus Christ? But the reality is that church, like everything else, evolves, it changes. Just like our home, built in 1965, has needed to change with the times. It has needed to undergo its own reformation. So how are we within the church to know what changes are good, what changes are too much? There is a word that I like to bring up as I'm teaching and occasionally in preaching, and that word is adiaphora. Adiaphora. It's a word that calls us to think of what are the essential things. Me wearing these robes, it's not essential. It's not essential to the church being the church. It's not essential to my salvation. It's not essential to yours. having these candles is adiaphora. Stained glass windows, the color of the carpet, all of these things are adiaphora. They are not essential. So as Jesus calls us to continue in my word, that is one of the values that we follow, and that helps to establish what are the essential things. The word of God is essential. The word of God in the Bible, the written word of God, the word of God proclaimed as we speak God's good news to one another, the word of God proclaimed as you hear sermons, the word of God also as present through baptism. Baptism makes us one, that brings us into the body of Christ. Communion as the sacrament of the altar, that as we receive the bread and wine, as you hear the words, the body of Christ given for you, the blood of Christ shed for you, you hear those words for you, and you're called to remember that Jesus has given of his whole self, his life, and everything that he has given that for you. So as we look at what the essential things are, especially in this time of COVID, how are we as a church that currently is not meeting together physically, how are we to continue in Jesus' word? What does that mean? How do we understand this time of COVID as a time of reformation, a time of focusing and refocusing on how we as people, how we as a church form and reform? How are we a body of Christ? As you heard at the beginning of this service, today is our first time to celebrate communion online. There are people in various Christian traditions, and even within the Lutheran Church, that really don't agree with sharing communion online. And I have wrestled with this myself. There are many scriptures that I have pored over. And as I think about how we are doing this, the Bible doesn't clearly have any guidance for us here. Communion, as we understand through the Bible, is about gathering together. And so we are gathered together in this way, albeit not the perhaps the best way. We would love to be gathered in person. And yet we are gathered. We are community right now in these moments. So people may say that we can't and shouldn't do this because of the traditions of the church, because we are not here together. But the reality is, I, as a pastor, I am not the one that consecrates, that makes holy these elements of bread and wine. It's the Holy Spirit through me. I have the privilege of saying these words and presiding at this table, welcoming people to the altar. But it's the Holy Spirit that does it. So it doesn't matter if I'm, you know, a matter of inches from the elements of bread and wine, or if I'm a matter of feet or a matter of miles. In this time, we trust that the Holy Spirit is present with us through these elements, that the Spirit makes them become bread and wine for us. Some may say, well, why even do it this way? Why even receive communion this way? And we have, as those of you who have been part of Bethel before, you know that we have abstained from receiving communion since the middle of March. Last Sunday, we had our first in-person outdoor communion, and it was wonderful to see people. But I know that there are some people who for the duration of COVID, however long that lasts. And even beyond that, some people will not feel comfortable returning to church. And so the question is, how are we to help people with the reception of the sacrament? How are we to offer the sacrament of communion to those people? Or are they simply to refrain from receiving communion for however long? That's where I think we have to consider, what are the values as we undergo this reformation? Is the value of our tradition more important than the value of people receiving the sacrament? In my mind, it's more important that we have people receive the sacrament of communion and are assured of the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, that they are loved and cherished by God. That is an important value that we have through Holy Communion. And then at our earliest opportunity, then we gather and receive communion together. So in this way, I feel that we are continuing to follow after the word and the call of Jesus Christ. So join me in receiving this communion, confident that the Holy Spirit is able to figure out the distance and all the logistics, because the Holy Spirit will transform these elements of bread and wine to become the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. So let us continue in Jesus' word, following to the best of our abilities the value that Jesus has shown us. In the name of Jesus, amen.